I'm ready to do push-ups right now. 720 WGN, it's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Our next guest is a true rock star. He wrote and sang the hit Vehicle, of course, for the Ides of March. Founding member of Survivor, he wrote this hit right here, Eye of the Tiger, which was a number one. His band, the Ides of March, are playing City Winery on Wednesday, March 4th. It's our great friend, Jim Peterick. Your hair couldn't be more purple right now.
Pete. That was the original lyric, and then we just said, no lyrics.
You know, we talk about that story when Sly called you up and said he needed a song. How did Sly find you? How did you get the phone call from Stallone?
Well, you know how the Irish stick together? So do the Italians. You know, you would know. It's very clannish, and not in a bad way.
Uh-huh.
But Tony Scotti was the head of our record label.
Okay.
Tony Scotti.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course. Ends in a vowel. You don't mess with them.
You know,
all right.
And he knew Stallone. He knew Stallone's brother, Frank. Anyway, Stallone comes up to Tony Scotti's office. I need a song, man. I need a song for my new movie. You got anybody on the roster? And Tony Scotti, God bless him, he played the new Survivor album at the time.
Really?
And he played a song called Poor Man's Son. I'm a poor man's son. You know, really gritty, the big beat. And Stallone goes, that's what I want. That's when he called me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you pick up the phone, and there's Stallone on the other end.
Oh, my God. Well, it was an answering machine. Hey, that's a nice answering machine you got there, Jim. Call me. I wish I still had
and
that.
And this is 1982.
Early 82.
Okay.
Yeah. I just got back home. I'm listening to the answering machine. There's one for my sister, one for my buddy. And then, hey, yo, Jim, that's a nice answer. I thought somebody was putting me on. You know? Wouldn't you?
Wow.
I mean, no secretary, no nothing. And he said, I got this new movie, Rocky III, and I don't want that Going to Fly Now song. It's a nice song, but I want something for the kids. Something with a pulse. Can you help me out?
That was smart that he did that.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, but I wasn't so happy with the money. Went to the rap songs later. Nothing against rap. It's just I don't do rap.
Right, right.
But I'm trying to get him back on online.
Well, paint a picture for me, because it was the late 70s where you left the Ides for a time and did your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you join Survivor? How does that happen?
Well, I actually formed Survivor. You know, it was the Jim Peterick band. I called some of my favorite people. Dave Bickler on vocals, who I was doing jingles with. Look out for the bull, you know, all these commercials. Remember when Chicago was the...
You did those?
That was me.
Are you kidding
me? That was me. I did, now that you've had a drink, oh, what a time to think. I should have had a V8. Oh, man. Now, dig this. And when I ran into Brian Wilson, I'm writing with Brian Wilson now. He said...
From the Beach Boys.
From the Beach Boys.
Sure, yeah.
He said, did you do that song? I'm picking up good vibrations. Sun-kissed orange sodas. Taste sensation. I said, yeah, that was me.
That was you, too?
That was me.
Oh, my
gosh. And he
gosh.
Said, well, I'll forgive you this time.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So, in the late 70s, you were doing your own thing. And how did you form Survivor? Did you meet Frankie, or did somebody put you guys together?
I decided I had bronchitis, pneumonia, and I was in the hospital trying to recover. And I don't know if it was the codeine they were giving me, but I had this vision of the ultimate rock band. And I started calling my favorite people, Frank Sullivan, who was a member of the group Mariah, and he was just this kid, crazy, great guitarist all over the stage. Called Dave Bickler. Because I loved him singing Look Out for the Bull.
Right.
Gary Smith, Dennis Johnson, who were the rhythm section of Chase. And I tried to form the ultimate band, and we called it the Jim Peterick Band. And we started doing shows, and after a while, with Bickler on vocals and me on vocals, didn't feel like the Jim Peterick Band anymore. Let's get a name. And I came up with the name Survivor, because that was part of the album notes on my solo album, Don't Fight the Feeling. The first line was, Jim Peterick is a survivor. I love that word, so that's what we became.
How many top 10 hits in that 84 album?
Oh, my God. Well,
Vital
84
Signs.
Was four. Four top 10s. High on You, I Can't Hold Back.
Peaked at number 8.
Yes.
Can't Hold Back, can't number hold 13. Back.
Yes. Search Is Over.
Search Is Over, peaked at number 4.
Yeah. And then I lied a little bit. First Night was the fourth one. And that got stomped on by our own song, Burning Heart, which came out at the same time from Rocky IV.
Burning Heart went to number 2 in 1986.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah. Crazy.
And then Eye of the Tiger, number 1.
5 weeks in a row on Billboard.
You owned the 80s.
Well, you know, I rented it for a while.
I love that. Nice. Have you you always dress like a rock star? Because you can't go in under the radar. You have purple hair. You have the purple scarf.
You know, look, in Survivor, I was kind of in the back row playing keyboards like a wooden Indian.
Right.
I mean, I used to be like the front man of Ides of March, and I was the guy, you know? I was the guy who talked and sang lead on Vehicle. And then Survivor was a different band, and that was the days of like Journey, and they had one singer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the format we took, but I was very frustrated.
Yeah, tell me about that. You wrote that in your book, how frustrated you were with Survivor, yeah. And they just put you to the back.
Well, yeah, and it was a group decision, but I always resented it.
You wrote all the hits.
Well, I co-wrote, you know, and that's to be fair. But the bottom line is, I was frustrated because I wasn't singing. I wasn't the front man anymore. It's not like I wanted to be a star, but I just wanted to express myself.
Sure, know? Right. How long have you been doing purple hair?
10 years.
That's it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was the fat girl back then, you know? Yeah. In Survivor, I was the fat girl sitting, you know, with the bad clothes and a little bit overweight, you know? Nothing against fat girls. I'm just saying. But I kind of bloomed late, you know?
I'm with you. I did too. Jim Peterick in studio, the Ides of March Plain City Winery on Wednesday, March 4th. Who is the friendly stranger in the black sedan?
Well, that'd be me.
Really?
And that's the girl that hopped inside my car. I'm sitting next to Karen Peterick.
You brought your wife here, who is absolutely gorgeous.
I know.
Wow.
I know. I'm a really lucky guy, man. You know, look at me. Look at her.
Right.
Beauty and the Beast. Come on.
That's me. Yeah. This is why we get along so well. It really is.
We're always the underdog, Pete.
And by the way, for people listening right now, Jim, who has these rock star outfits, and what is that, a leather full
coat? It's and pants.
Leather coat and pants, okay, and the boots. What size boot do you wear?
I'm not telling you.
I'm a size 12.
I'm 11.
Oh, shoot.
11 okay. and a half.
But we are a perfect jacket size
yes,
together.
Yes, we are.
I've tried on your clothes, and they fit perfectly.
You better explain that. That sounds weird.
Well, I made him take off his coat about 10
pants.
Years ago. I'm like,
no.
Wow, this is great.
No, you look great in my stuff.
So do you ever get rid of any of the stuff?
No. No, I'm just telling you. All this stuff is like made by my tailor, Richard Kickmunter, a German guy who lives in Chicago and L.A. He makes clothes for Stallone and Steve Tyler.
Yeah.
And me. I kind of started him off.
Okay.
And I help
is
him.
Is he a Chicago guy?
He's Polish, but yeah. He is. He lives in Chicago.
Wow.
If you ever need anything.
I do. I was just going to ask you. How do I get, like, the red leather jacket?
You know, well,
I sweat a lot, though. Does it breathe?
No, man. You got to give it artificial respiration. This is really very hot, but it's, you know, it's so cool. I don't care.
And where do I get the purple shades, too?
These are actual glasses. I see. These are trifocals.
Okay.
I mean, I'm 69. Come on. I can see you.
I don't want you to tell me how old you are because you look like you're in your late 50s. You look fantastic.
I appreciate that. I feel really good. And, you know, that's the main thing.
How many dates do the Ides do a year?
We're doing about 50 a year.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's all we want to do. I mean, we try to keep the quality up so we're not playing, you know, crummy shows. It's usually like big festivals, theaters like the City Winery, like
right.
the Genesee Theater, which we did a few months ago.
What a beautiful venue.
And we filled it,
yep.
You know.
Right.
And that was a show with Bo Bice of American Idol fame, mm-hmm. who sang Vehicle to the top of the charts again back in 2005. And Mark Farner, who we're doing a lot of work with now, of Grand Funk Railroad.
Sure.
Great, great artist. We're doing an album together now.
How do you write a song nowadays? I mean, do you have to sit down, or does it come to you in the car? How does it happen?
Ask Karen.
For Jim Peterick.
I'll be driving along, and Karen goes, "Watch out for that car!" I said, "Don't bug me. I'm writing a chorus." You know, a lot of stuff happens in the car. And,
really?
Yeah, it's all up here, man. You know, it's not like I have to go to a piano or a guitar. It's all an arrangement right in my head, and then I come home. I wrote The Search Is Over completely in my head, and I had to go home and find the chords for that song.
Oh, wow.
And your imagination is way better than your musicianship, at least for me.
Sure.
So I can imagine all this great stuff, and then I have the musicians to carry it off.
How crazy is it nowadays that you can record something in your bathroom if you wanted to?
I
and
know.
And get the echo. And back in the day, you had to get studio time and band time,
and
the band had to leave the road, and you had to do everything at this studio.
Who is that gal that won everything for the Grammys? What?
Billie Eilish. Yes.
The green hair, whatever, chartreuse.
Yeah.
She and her brother did it all in their bedroom.
You're kidding.
Yeah. everything.
Oh, wow.
Little GarageBand program. That's all you need now.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
But that's okay.
Right. So do you sing into your phone, and then when you get home, you put it into music?
I do. And, you know, I've got a great studio in my home.
I've seen the Inner Sanctum at the Peterick residence. And your studio's off the charts.
Thank you. But you haven't been to the Jam Lab yet? That's my son's place in Brookfield.
I have not.
4,000 square feet. It's one of those old airplane hangar-looking buildings.
Right.
That Karen really had a huge hand in redesigning and decorating. And it's a rehearsal space. It's a recording studio. It's, you know, they have weddings there, parties, video shoots.
Wow.
And he's like the guy.
Really?
And they're doing great. We rehearse there. We record there. The Jam Lab.
The Jam Lab. And where's it located?
Brookfield.
Okay.
Yeah, right on 47th Street.
I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk more music and just hang out.
Jim Thanks Peter for having me
here,
on
and I'm
going to
bring
show.
Your wife on the air in a second because I have some questions.
Look out.
How long's it been? 47 years?
47 years. We met in 68, standing in line to see the Turtles.
All right. I want to ask you about that up next. It's 720 WGN. And now I feel like years away. My favorite song by the Ides of March. Side of Chicago. In studio with us is Jim Peterick. The Ides are playing at City Winery. What is the date again? Hold on, I just lost it.
The 4th of March.
The 4th of March.
It's a Wednesday night.
Wednesday, March 4th. I'm in 100%. Usually I'm out of town when you guys do.
Would you want some VIPs?
I do.
Okay.
Absolutely. 100% I'm going. I love that venue, City Winery.
It's so nice.
If people have never been, it's just a great vibe when you walk in, and it's very intimate.
You know, and the thing that people don't know is how well they treat the entertainers.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not mentioning any names, but some of the clubs and theaters, they don't care. They give you a deli tray with, you know, stale salami. And, you know, in this place, you know, you sit at this special table for the entertainers and order anything on the menu. And you feel really special. And then you're ready to take that stage. You
know? Well, shouldn't that be the case everywhere? If the entertainers feel like they're taken care of, they'll want to do a good show.
Well, yes. And I'll give a plug also to Ron Onesti, who's the same way.
Oh, Ron's the best.
I mean, one time he prepared prime rib before the show. Yeah.
And he probably cooked it.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And by the way, in the connection here, March 14th, we're playing at a new Onesti club in Highwood. It's called 210 Live.
210 Live.
Yes, it's about a 300-seater, wonderful venue. It's been there for a while, but he kind of took it over and revamped it and put a new sound system in. So we're really excited about that.
And Ron, of course, Yarkata Theater in St. Charles, which is another great venue.
Fantastic. And they're in the process very soon of revamping that and putting in a new system and multiple washrooms, which, I mean, it's a small thing, but, you know, it's pretty important. But Ron is great. And so, yeah, the 14th of March, it's one day away from the Ides of March, which is the
15th. I was just going to ask you about that. Okay.
And Bob Berglund's birthday, he's our bass player. He's listening. So, hey, Bob.
Bob, B-O-B. Bob.
Yeah, B-O-B.
I've never met your beautiful wife, Karen, and she's in studio. Karen, move that microphone over. Tell me about that time in 1969 when you guys were in line to go see the Turtles.
1968. Let's not argue. Go ahead.
I went, wanted to see the Turtles.
Okay.
Because I was 15, and I just started going to sock hops at schools.
Okay.
You know, they were safe, but kind of exciting because there were boys there. I was at an all-girl Catholic high school.
Of course.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I had seen the Ides of March, and I took note. And liked them a lot. And, of course, your eye goes to the lead singer, who happens to be this guy here.
What did Jim look like back in 1968?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, this could be...
Yeah.
Did he have long, long, long hair?
No.
Really?
He did not.
Black rimmed glasses?
For me...
Kind of a Buddy Holly look?
Yeah. I was trying.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew he was an artist. There was some artistic thing about him.
Okay.
But... for me, it was more his personality that once I actually approached him while we were waiting outside in line to get in to RB High School.
Mr. Outgoing had this beautiful woman walk up to you in 1968.
I was so shy back then. And I was looking at her going, well, she'll never talk to me, way out of my league, you know. And she says, aren't you Peterick? day that changed my life.
Yeah. And then...
Did you ask him out? How did that go?
Well, we started talking and we sat next to each other, and this is a little embarrassing. I felt so comfortable next to him that I threw my leg over his leg.
Oh boy. Wow.
I was in heaven.
You knew we're making out tonight.
Oh my God. Right. Well, we didn't make out that day. But
we memorized each other's phone numbers, which was a big deal back in 1968.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I still remember that.
If you didn't have a pen, you had to memorize it. It's like, oh my God, did I get the digits right?
I remember there was 5-7 in it. Heinz 57. Okay, Heinz, that was the gimmick.
You're such a visual guy.
I know I am.
So that a few days went by and he didn't call, and I thought, well, that's that.
Good job, Jim. Right?
I was afraid.
But then he did.
I did. I said, I'm so nervous. I'm sorry I didn't call you on Friday. Like I said, it was Monday, following Monday. And that was my way of, like, you know, feeling better. I just fell on the sword. And I said, man, I was so nervous I couldn't even talk to you.
Wow. Where was your first date?
Oh, I know.
Morton High School.
Morton High School. We went to see a play. That was a horrible play. Little Mary Sunshine. It was so bad. But and then... I walk her home, and right in the alley behind Larry Millis' house, she kisses me.
What?
Yeah.
Boy, we're really sharing all here.
Wow, you're an aggressive young woman.
Oh, my God. And it was quite a kiss. I mean...
Let's stop it right there.
Wow.
I had never done a kiss like that.
Really?
No.
And how long did you two date before you got married?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah. Now, I did want to see what other guys were like, so we kind of broke up here or there, which prompted some great material for songs for him.
Really?
Mainly Vehicle. I wrote that to win her back.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. She started calling me for rides, but it's not a date, Jim. Okay, got it. So I took her to modeling school. Two weeks later, Jim, that was really fun. Can you take me to modeling school again? Did it again. All of a sudden, I'm thinking... I'm just her limousine service. I'm just her vehicle, baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No,
I've never heard this story.
True story. And I wrote the song, showed it to the band. That was, man, I captured lightning in a bottle, man. Went to Fairbanks Studios, Columbia Studios, which used to be on Fairbanks. In two takes, we captured Vehicle. Went to number one all across the country. Suddenly, we're on the road with Led Zeppelin and Janis Joplin.
Oh, my gosh.
Guess who starts calling me again?
Oh, boy.
Honest to God, she said, you know, maybe I was a little hasty here. You know, you want to try dating again?
So, Vehicle, what was that, 1971?
70.
1970.
70. Mm-hmm.
And you get married in 72.
Correct.
So, in 1970, you go out on the road with Janis and Led Zeppelin, and you're in and out of town.
Right.
When did you guys finally say, okay, maybe we should make this official?
Well, at some point, he was back in town, and we hooked up again, and... I just realized, kind of like the search is over. I mean, he was the one.
There was
no one else. Like, I had this wonderful, comfortable, loving thing with Jim that I couldn't find anything close to that. And it just made me appreciate him all the more. So we finally, and, you know, a little maturity from 15 to 19.
Sure, of course.
Grow up a lot in those years.
Right.
And all the morons you tried to date.
Right.
Well, no.
And then we went to Happiness Is in Oak Park.
The ice cream parlor of doom. It was so great. That was our place.
Really?
You sat in these little like half carriages, and the waitress would come up to your carriage. It was so fun.
Oh, wow.
These hot fudge sundaes. We were so high on fudge and butter fat.
Cream.
Suddenly we go, we could get married.
You know, he was singing commercials. He was making a good income.
Yeah.
And it just dawned on us, gosh, what are we waiting for? Yeah. And fortunately, our families loved us. Mm-hmm. And we had kind of green lights all the way. And we thought, let's just do it. We're not, you know,
September
2nd.
September 2nd, 1972,
yep.
You get married.
Yeah.
Jim and Karen Peterick.
That's it.
So how long after you got married before you had to hit the road again?
Oh, right away.
Right away.
Right away. We went to Hawaii for 2 weeks, and then I was right back on the road. And that was tough.
Yeah, it was. I felt like I had this wonderful dream of a wedding and a honeymoon. And then I was back to, you know, going to school at the time.
And we had our own apartment by that, so she was alone in this apartment.
Yeah.
So were you thinking, I'm going to be a rock and roll widow because this guy's going to be on the road all the time? That's going to be tough.
I think we always had this bedrock that we're going to be okay. Whatever happens, we're going to be okay. And we didn't look that far into the future.
Okay. Be present. That's the problem. Nobody's present anymore.
Isn't that true? So we're living in the past, living in the future.
That's it. You got to be present. That's the thing.
Yep.
Wow.
Well said.
You guys are a good-looking couple.
Thank you.
We have fun.
They say you grow to look a lot like each other.
Oh,
like
please.
You don't dog look and any. Dog owners.
You don't look any. By the way, Karen, a beautiful blonde. Yeah. Are you? What color are your eyes? Are those blue eyes? Beautiful blue eyes. And then there's Jim with the purple glasses and the purple hair.
I'm prematurely purple.
How often do you have to dye the purple
Once
hair?
Once a month.
Once a month.
Very expensive.
Have you? I guess you've done purple as long as I've known you.
About 10 years.
Yeah.
And I loved meeting you all those years and all those great. You know, House of Blues shows we've done together.
Right, we've done a lot of fundraisers together.
For your fundraiser.
And we've done the Goombay Bash. I mean, you do so much charity work around
well,
the city.
You know, the Goombay Bash is really personal to me, and I just did a shout-out for the H Foundation, because cancer, not to get too, you know, but it touches us all in one way or another.
Yeah.
And whether it's you or a friend of yours or a friend of a friend or a relative or whatever, you know, I'm trying to help, you know. Research.
I want you to hold that thought. I'm going to keep you one more segment.
Sure.
Okay? Because I want to talk to you about working with... We had Sammy Hagar on last week, and I forgot to ask Sammy about writing with you.
Good pal.
Heavy metal.
Come on.
Okay. Jim Peterick's here. Karen Peterick's here. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. My favorite song by the Ides of March. I love Vehicle, but L.A. Goodbye is just fantastic. Jim Peterick is here. The Ides are playing City Winery on Wednesday, March 4th. Tell me about this song, L.A. Goodbye. Were you leaving L.A. and you wrote it on the plane? How did that happen?
Yeah, and you know what? It's one of my favorites, too, if not my favorite song. And real Ides of March fans, they love this song more than any other song, so thank you. Yeah, we're first time in L.A. A lot of us, it was our first time in an airplane. That's how young we were. I was 19. The whole band was like between 18 and 21. And we went to L.A. Vehicle was number one. We performed at the Whiskey A Go-Go with Tony
gosh.
Joe White and
the legendary Whiskey
A Go-Go. Stephen Stills.
What year is this?
70.
Oh, my gosh. And it's heyday.
I know, man. It was totally happening, and we killed it. And then we did... We did the Mama Cass Show, which is a Dick Clark Productions. Got to meet Dick backstage and Mama Cass and all that. And we did Vehicle. We did a few other TV shows. And then we went to a party, like a society party. And that's where I met George Harrison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
were you in awe? I mean, what's the biggest celebrity that you've met where you've been in awe?
Well,
George has to be up there.
That's number two. Number one is Paul McCartney.
Of course.
And
the Beatles.
Yeah. Karen and I went with the Stroud crowd. We were winners. Well, Bob kind of tipped the scales towards us a little bit.
Yeah, he's got the muscle to do that.
Stuffed the ballot box, and we went as a part of the Stroud crowd to the 25th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper.
Oh, wow.
And we got the whole tour of Abbey Road Studios. And in the penthouse, there was the big reception for Paul. And, you know, we got to meet him. And I was, like, totally tongue-tied, as I am now thinking about it. And I finally got to my turn, and I shook his hand, and I said, I don't know what to say. I said, I was the guy that wrote Eye of the Tiger. And he goes, oh, good one, that one. And that was it. That's all I needed. And I touched the hand.
Of course.
You know, and I'll never forget it. He was so nice and so polite and cool.
Were you influenced by the Beatles?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, my God. The whole early part of the Ides of March, we were the Berwyn Beatles. I mean, that's what we were.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were influenced by the whole British invasion thing. We wanted to be the Kinks, the Zombies, but more than anything, the Beatles. And our first song, You Wouldn't Listen, kind of a combination of the Hollies and all the British bands put together.
Your songs have garnered 18 top 10 Billboard spots, sold over 30 million copies.
Yep.
That's crazy. You have a Grammy Award, a People's Choice Award, an Oscar nomination. Were you nominated for Eye of the Tiger?
Eye of the Tiger. Guess what won?
82. I can't even think.
It was a good song. Love lift us up where we belong.
Yeah, I mean, come on, but Eye of the Tiger stands the test of time.
We were so, you know, where they show the people after they lose and the eggs running down your face. That was me and Frankie. Thank you.
What's it like to lose at the Academy Awards?
And the guy was sitting right next to me. Oh man,
you had to fake it for the cameras.
I did.
38 special, Caught Up in You, Hold On Loosely, Rocking Into the Night. I mean, just
Fantasy
some of the
Girl.
How did you write these? I mean, it was churning hit after hit.
Well, that was a sweet spot in my career. And, you know, it's just the way it happens. And 38 Special was such a talented group. And people said, why did you give those hits away to 38 Special? I said, I didn't. It's a collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, and if Don Barnes hadn't said, I got a title, Jim, I said, what? He goes, Hold On Loosely. And I said, but don't let go. And we were off to the races.
That's great.
So the chemistry of a writing partner, partnership is very potent, like Dennis DeYoung and me.
Right. I was just going to bring that up. You're working with Dennis now.
Love it. It's a dream come true. One of my heroes.
Where can people get the music? Because I was at Dennis's house, and he played it for me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Right?
This is a hit.
Yeah. I mean, did you hear? You heard like six or seven tracks,
right? I did, yes.
Man, just an amazing album, and I'm just honored to write with him.
So, I mean, when you hear a song like that, it takes me back to a time where, you know, everybody was happy, and it's just great music. For a guy like you and Dennis, where do we play that music nowadays?
In the bedroom?
How do people find it? That's the thing. This could be, if it was back in the day when albums, you could go out and buy an album, I mean, it would be a top 10 hit.
Well, I think Spotify is the future. It's the now.
You're right.
You know,
and it's bringing it back for artists like you.
It is. And even they're even getting more fair with the royalties gradually, you know, with the Music Modernization Act, because they were really, you know, not fair for a long time, but really getting there. And so Spotify is great, and of course downloads and stuff like that, and YouTube. You know, with Dennis DeYoung and I, we did a video for Proof of Heaven, which was on my World Stage album, which he and I collaborated on. It's got like 1 million views. I mean, and maybe it doesn't go in your pocket, but it enhances the whole thing called a career.
Right. It builds the brand, too.
It does.
And it's like, I want to find out more about these guys. What are they doing?
And let's download their songs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like working with Dennis?
It's a trip. He's a funny guy, as you know.
He is like a stand-up comedian.
He is a stand-up.
It's like Shecky Green.
Oh, my God. And he's not Jewish.
No, he's not.
No. He's not Italian either, by the way. He's Dutch.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
That's okay.
All right.
It's all right. But easy to work with him?
Yes. Yes. He's very brutally honest. I'll show him a song and he goes, no, you can do better. Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah.
You know, you can appreciate that.
Yeah. Honesty is very important.
Right.
And that's what a collaboration's about, you know, not afraid to, like when I was writing with Sammy Hagar, it took us like an hour to get past the nerves. I mean, he was a big star. I was a star, not, you know, whatever. And we were so afraid of saying something stupid, you know, and you can ask him. I said, Sammy, you're going to throw out some terrible ideas. So am I. Let's get over it and say some really bad stuff. And we just started throwing out terrible ideas, and we were laughing our butts off, you know. And finally, we came up with Heavy Metal.
Heavy Metal is such a great song.
And he still plays it in his set, you know.
He does.
Oh, yeah. It's a big song.
He does solo stuff. He does Van Halen. He does Montrose. And
crazy. Crazy, yeah. Great career. One of my heroes, an American hero.
Do you see, can you walk up when they come to town in Tinley Park? Can you just knock on the back door?
Sure.
Sammy, I'd like to see you. It's Jim Peterick. Hello.
Well, I would contact him the day before, and then yes.
Of course.
He played Northerly Island. I opened for him.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then he invited me on stage to do Heavy Metal.
God, and, that's great.
We just have that kind of relationship, you know.
You just want to hang out with people like that, don't you?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Very lucky. You know, Sammy is one of the best.
And finally, we got a minute left. I want to mention your calendar, which is awesome.
And I signed it to you, Pete.
Thank you for that.
Yes, indeed.
Tell people what it's like and where they can get it.
Sure. You can get it on Amazon.com. And it's called Jim Peterick Stars, Guitars, and Stories. It's a 2-year calendar, which is kind of a cool idea because you can buy it now and still have a calendar for next year. 2020 is, every month is a different format of the shows I do, from Ides of March to Pride of Lions to my country kind of oriented group called Storm Chasers. I even have a page for my son's band. It's the best Steely Dan tribute band in the country, in my humble opinion, my slanted opinion. They're called the Brooklyn Charmers. Have a page for them. Descriptions of all those formats. And then in 2021, handwritten lyrics of my biggest hits, from Eye of the Tiger to Vehicle. Actually, the original manuscript of Eye of the Tiger, complete with ink blots and scratched out lyrics and the whole thing. Stories behind the song. So it's more than a calendar, really. It's really kind of a book.
And your different guitars in here on every single month.
Oh, my God.
How many guitars do you have?
Passion. Well, Karen's sitting here, so I can't really tell.
Your wife, Karen.
Yeah, my wife, Karen. No, 193.
No way.
Yeah, that was...
How many, Karen? How many?
Used to be 175, and we had this deal, sworn deal, that new guitar in and old guitar out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a net.
I thought you were way over 200. That just broke my heart.
I know. Well, actually, I am.
No. All right.
No, I love it. It's legal as far as I know. And, you know, when you see Buddy Holly on TV, I was 4 years old playing Stratocaster. I wanted that guitar, not his guitar, but one just like it.
Sure.
I finally got the guitar.
Wow.
54 Strat.
Karen, really a pleasure to finally meet you.
So nice to see you.
I mean, you are just beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
47 years together. God bless you guys.
I know. God. You know.
And we were only 10 when we got
here. Yeah, right. Not true.
Ides of March, City Winery on Wednesday, March 4th. I'll see you there. I love you, brother. Thank you for coming in.
Awesome. I love you too, Pete.
Jim Peterick, everybody. Coming up next, we'll talk to Pat Tomasulo from WGN Morning News, who just added a second comedy show. We'll talk to him next on 720 WGN.